Our second scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. I think all of us have probably seen this. Two brothers in a family that, if you didn't know they were part of the same family, you'd never guess that they were. One might be really tall and the other one really short, or one may have really dark hair and the other one be blonde. One looks just like mom and the other one looks just like dad. And it's kind of funny how genetics hand these traits down to us through the years, even in the same family. Science tells us, and we know from our own experience, that many of our physical features come down to us from our parents. Their eye color, the shape of your face, your hairline, whether you even have any hair, the way we walk, all these things come down to us from our genetic. But I think on Mother's Day, what's really important isn't so much what we see when we looked in the mirror, is what we feel in our hearts and what's been instilled in us since our childhood. I can remember when my sisters and I were growing up in Carbondale, and we had an upstairs bedroom, and the three of us would go up and get ready for bed, and my mom would come up to tuck us in, and then she would lead us in a prayer. And I'll be surprised if everybody in the room hasn't at least said this prayer at one time or another. It's been handed down since sometime in the 1600s, I think. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. So we'd kneel beside the bed and say that prayer, and then we'd finish up by saying, and God bless. And then we'd try to think of everybody that we could think of to prolong having to go to bed. So we'd list off all the names. Now, you know, at the time, that really didn't seem like such a big deal, I guess. But looking back now, those are probably some of the most sacred moments of my childhood. In those quiet, simple routines, something powerful was happening. Our souls were being nurtured by a sense of love and safety and security, and the seeds of faith were planted early. There's an old saying, you've probably heard this before, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Or as we find it in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. What I'd like to reflect on this Mother's Day is the way mothers and grandmothers, and even women who may not have children of their own but instinctively love like mothers, help shape the lives of those around them, not with lessons and long lectures, but by steady love and gentle guidance. And I was reminded of a conversation I had not long ago with Pam and Al Bumgartel, and we were talking about teachers and the impact that they have on kids' lives, and Pam was describing her daughter Gretchen, who's a teacher up in Rangeley. That's an environment where a lot of the kids come from pretty rough backgrounds. They lead a pretty rough and tumble life, some of them, up there. And Pam was describing how much empathy and gentleness Gretchen has with these kids, making them feel like they're loved and that they're getting more than just school lessons. They get moments where they're understood and believed in. What a different world this might be if we had every kid had those kinds of teachers in school. And what does Paul write about this? In the Bible, we see something powerful which reinforces that idea. He's sitting in prison and he's waiting for the executioner, and he writes one last letter. And he writes to his protege, Timothy, who's been like a son to him as he travels. And what does Paul write to Timothy about? Well, he writes to him about his faith, a strong, sincere faith. And he says, Timothy, I remember where you got this faith. You got it from your grandma and your mom. Or as it says, these words are found in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I kind of wonder what bedtime prayers sounded like in Timothy's home as they prayed by candlelight. Maybe Timothy was just a little guy sitting cross-legged, and his mom read scripture or whispered prayers over him. Now, we don't know whether Timothy had any brothers or sisters, but we do know his dad was a Greek and probably not a believer. So all of the spiritual foundation that Timothy would have in his life came from his mother and his grandmother. Just think how many lives over the centuries may have been impacted because Timothy's mother and grandmother were faithful in the quiet everyday moments of raising a child to know the Lord. The Gospels don't tell us much about Jesus' childhood, but they do give us a little insight into his relationship with his mom. She was there at his birth, of course, wrapping him in swaddling clothes and laying him gently in the manger. She listened to what the shepherds say and what the wise men offered, and Luke tells us that she treasured these things in her heart. This tells us something not just about what happened, but how deeply Mary reflected on what God was doing in and through her son. It wasn't loud or dramatic, just a quiet, loving presence. Then later, you remember the story, 12-year-old Jesus stayed behind at the temple, and Mary and Joseph were out frantically searching for him. And I have to wonder, as Mary was searching everywhere for Jesus, she might have been thinking something like, kids these days, I wonder where the heck he is now. She might even have been a little upset. But when she finally finds him in the temple, the Bible tells us, she listened carefully to his words. Twice, Luke tells us that Mary treasured these things in her heart. A mother's heart, a heart that reflects, that nurtures, even when she doesn't fully understand. And then, 21 years later, there she is again at the foot of the cross, her heart breaking, still standing beside her son. We don't know every word that Mary ever spoke to Jesus as a child. We don't know how she tucked him in at night or what bedtime prayers she whispered. But we do know the Son of God was raised in the warmth and security of a faithful mother's love. It's hard for me to think about Jesus growing up. It's hard for me to imagine what that could have looked like. Just imagine Mary, his mother, teaching the Son of God to walk. There's an old quote that I ran across from Max Lucado. He wrote in one of his books. He said, angels watched as Mary changed God's diaper. The universe watched with wonder as the Almighty learned to walk. It's hard to grasp some. In his human self, Jesus, did he ever catch a cold? Did he get the measles? Did Mary worry about him and make chicken soup for him as she nursed him back to health? And when he fell and skinned his knees, she was likely there to wipe away the tears. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 tells us, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, it reminds us, for this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Just imagine that. Deity in human form, just like us in every way. I wonder, did Jesus ever get into trouble as he was growing up? Did Mary ever have to scold him? Mary was a young woman with a tender heart, a loving mother. And when the kids got into a big fight and argued, how did she manage that without showing favoritism to Jesus? Being fully human in every way, Jesus needed his mother in all the ways we needed our mothers as we were growing up. If even Jesus and his humanity was shaped by the gentle care and presence of a mother, how much more did the rest of us need this kind of influence? A child is born and God has created a blank canvas, a brand new flesh and blood hard drive, waiting to be filled with information. Human programs, spoken and unspoken, will begin to write themselves on his life, determining how the child will see and experience the world. The next time you're in the market and see a little infant in a shopping cart, notice the big eyes, how they look and search and are taking in information. The world is new, and every sound, every face, every movement is making an indelible imprint on the soul, shaping the person that the child will become. Now, some psychologists believe that by the time a child is 5 years old, they may already know as much as 85% of everything that they will ever know in their life. Now, I don't know how accurate that figure is, but we do know this. From the moment a baby's eyes open for the very first time, they begin gathering information. Information about the whole new world, the sights, the sounds, the touch, about safety and attachment and emotion. They start learning about how their bodies move and how people respond and how problem solving works. And I suspect the baby learns and says to himself or herself, you know, if I'm uncomfortable or if I'm hungry and I make a lot of noise, somebody will come and take care of me. Just think about it. By the time a child is 5 years old, most everything they know in their life will have already been imprinted. And who, during those crucial 5 years, is most responsible for shaping the mind and heart? Who is more often than not that steady first presence, the comforter, the teacher, the protector? Almost always, it's mom. Whether by birth, by adoption, or through the gift of a nurturing spirit. It's a mother's touch, a mother's voice, and a mother's love that writes some of the very first and deepest lines on a child's heart. In Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 9, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching, for they are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. If the Bible's wisdom and love is poured into a child's life in those first 5 years, if these things are treasured and not forgotten, imagine how different our world would look. Imagine what it could be like if we truly wore our mother's teaching like a crown of grace and a chain of honor. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. What a blessing it is when a mother's love does the bending. Would you join me in prayer? Now we bow our heads to pray and thank you, Lord, for love today, for mother's hands, for mother's care, for whispered prayers and hearts that share. We thank you for the seeds they sow, for teaching us the way to go, for faith that shaped us day by day, for gentle words that showed your way. Bless every mother, Lord, we pray, and those who guide young hearts today. We lift them up with grateful cheer and trust your love is always near. In Jesus' name, we humbly say, amen, and thanks for love today.